Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And Team WWL includes the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Got a text here from 1774. Who starts opposite of Lattimore, Crawley or P-Rob? Well, it's going to be Ken Crawley for sure. P-Rob is your nickel cornerback. He's going to play in some of the sub packages when they go to three wide receivers and four wide receiver sets. Bobby, he's had a pretty solid camp as well.
Yeah, that's not even a question. P-Rob was brought in here to be a nickel corner. You know, he was amongst of all the nickel corners last year. He was definitely in the conversation top two or top three, however you want to describe it, but guarding that slot receiver. So, no, they're not sticking him on the outside. No, it's Ken Crawley and Lattimore. And now on the back end, who's that fourth, fifth cornerback?
Don't know yet.
Yeah.
P.J. Williams is banged up. And he didn't play last week. He didn't practice all last week. Didn't practice today that I saw.
And I don't think Auton Millette necessarily helped his cause in the game against the Cardinals. He got picked on a few times in man coverage. I know he got beat. I seen it was two plays, 16, and it was about a 10-yard on that opening drive of the second half. He got exploited. He ended up having a pass defended. He had four tackles, but he played 37 snaps. But there's still a lot of competition on that back end. To say that Auton Millette, what he did, is not going to bode well for him long term. No, it's still what they're going to do against the Chargers and just a lot of competition that I noticed one time I was sitting by him. Seems like, buddy, we're going after Natrell Jamerson also. Mm-hmm. So to tell you the truth, when I just look past Lattimore, Crawley, and P-Rob, I still think it's wide open.
Very wide open. Look, I think you could see a veteran added to this cornerback room after roster cuts.
That's not even on this team.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. Look, I'm not entirely sure that P.J. Williams is a total lock to make this team anyway. There's the three guys we talked about, Lattimore, Crawley, and P-Rob. And then there's everybody else. There's not one person, even before P.J. Williams got injured, there's not one person or one player that is exactly standing out as, hey, I'm the fourth guy. And also with P.J., I think that they kind of know what they have there and would like to maybe upgrade that spot if they can.
Well, and P.J. could be one that could get cut by the Saints and then
– go somewhere else.
And then end up having success. Mm-hmm. You know, so just a different environment might be good for him. There's one reason why they brought in Marcus Williams, the other Marcus Williams, who's with the Jets. He's competing at cornerback right now. You know, to me, if he keeps doing what he's doing on special teams and kind of like the cornerback version of Chris Banjo – and he had a tackle against the Cardinals on special teams, Justin Hardy. So I think Justin Hardy has that going for him because the special teams very similar, you know, to provide depth in the secondary, but really counted upon like Chris Banjo on the coverage units on special teams. So, but to see Natrell Jamerson, he was really my dark horse as far as the practice squad. Lyndon Stevens, the rookie out of Cincinnati at number 40. He ended up giving up. He's the one that gave up that long play to Traquan Smith today down the middle. Looks like that could have been 50-yard touchdown type play. So we really don't know. But a lot of teams, I guarantee if you go on a number of rosters all around the NFL, when you're getting past that third corner, and I'm giving everyone the benefit of doubt, they think they have top three cornerbacks. All on the back end, they have not, I don't want to say problem, but they're in the same situation as the Saints. You know, who's going to make the team? Okay, what are they doing well enough at safety or corner to provide that depth? But then what are they doing on special teams? And they have to contribute.
If you're the fourth or fifth guy at corner, you must be able to contribute on special teams. You have to. There's no other way to slice it. We'll step away and come back. My conversation with the voice of the Saints, Zach Strief, up next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on Saints Radio. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, now joined by the voice of the Saints, Zach Strief. And Zach, first opportunity I've had to talk to you about the second preseason game. What'd you like? We'll start there.
Well, I think the running game looks really good, really on both sides of the ball. And, you know, we'll talk more as we talk about this game. The stats don't tell stories. And so, you know, you look at, you know, running the ball for over 180 yards in this game. That's not necessarily the number that I think is important. What I think is important is that it happened throughout the game, which I think shows good depth both at the running back position and the offensive line position. So it's not like we broke a bunch early with one group and then it went, you know, bad mm-hmm. at the end. It was really consistent. Every guy that carried the football had at least a carry of 15 yards. The lowest average was 4.6 among all the backs that got carries in that game. So, you know, even if you take out Taysom's scramble, it's an excellent game running the ball. We give up 68 yards rushing defensively a week after giving up 72 yards rushing to the Jaguars. So, you know, I think that shows, again, it shows depth. It shows depth along the front. And both of those are positions where going into the preseason, we're questioning where's the depth at, who's going to be the fourth DN, who's going to be the fourth D tackle. And I think it shows there's a lot of options there, as there is on the offensive line and at the running back position.
Taysom Hill, rough night for him, as Sean Payton described, 4 turnovers, 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles. Now, some of the fans were saying, time to give up the Taysom Hill experiment. And it's way too early to do that based on one game, because I still think there were some positives in his play.
Yeah, listen, and it's not going to be easy for anybody to pull positives out of Taysom's game, and Taysom knows that. You know, you look at the 2 interceptions. One of them is a well-thrown ball right on the money that, Cam Meredith is unable to handle, bounces up in the air, gets intercepted. Hard to necessarily put that on Taysom. I thought it was a well-thrown ball. You know, the second one, he takes a shot down the sideline. The ball is placed really where you want it to be. You know, maybe a little bit overthrown, but it was a heck of a play by Ben Wickery. And sometimes you kind of tip your cap and say, well, that was a good play. You know, the fumbles can't happen, and especially the way that they happen. And I think sometimes for young players, the game unnecessarily speeds up in their head when the lights come on. And, you know, what Taysom will have to learn over time is it has to be the same speed in practice, so when you get into the game, it feels exactly the same. And it's hard as a young player. You want everything to be better in a game than it is in practice. Mm-hmm. And you look at a guy like Drew Brees, and what a good role model for a young quarterback to see. The practice is the same as it is in the game. And so, listen, he fumbles the ball twice unaffected by anybody. It wasn't a bad snap. He didn't catch a running back. He kind of dropped back and threw the ball away. And so, obviously, those are bad situations. I thought he stepped up and delivered the ball well a couple of times. He has a big arm, and you saw that. And obviously, the long scramble on a play where it's not like he felt pressure and just took off running. Mm-hmm. He kept his eyes down the field, didn't see anywhere to go with it, took off, ran past 2 defensive backs. So there is that impressive side of Taysom, and, you know, he knows that he's going to have to play better. But at the same time, you know, Drew Brees' second game of his second year in the NFL, he was 6 of 11 for 42 yards. So it's not exactly going to inspire you as a fan to say, hey, this guy could be the next coming. And I'm not saying Taysom is, but I am saying it's the preseason, and you have to let guys develop.
Were you surprised that Sean Payton called out Ted Ginn Jr. In particular after the game in a press conference?
Absolutely not. Coach Payton has never been shy to call out a guy by name, you know, and especially if, you know, it's hard to tell, obviously, from the booth when someone's running the wrong route. I don't know what the play call is. But, listen, a guy running the wrong route is absolutely going to affect the quarterback, especially in a game where you haven't prepared a ton and you don't have a really great idea of where you want to go with the ball before it comes out. It's just the nature of preseason games. So having a primary receiver run the wrong route can really affect you as a quarterback. And, you know, you everything factors in for those guys. It just does. And, again, I'm not saying Taysom had a good game and everybody messed it up for him, but it takes more than one, and the criticism will go to the quarterback more than it should, and the praise will go to him more than it should as well.
Yeah, Sean Payton always says, typically everybody's hands are dirty in situations like this. Looking ahead to next week. Now they go out to Los Angeles to practice against the Chargers. Those are invaluable snaps and plays. But you were a part of that last year against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead are going to have their hands full next week.
Yes, they will. Those are two very good pass rushers. They're different pass rushers. I actually think in terms of matching up, that's a good matchup. How I would – if I wanted to lay them out, I would say I want Bosa on Ramczyk and I want – Melvin on Teron, which we'll get, which is good. I think both Ryan and Teron have had fantastic training camps. They've also seen, maybe more so Ryan, but Joey Bosa is no better than Cam is. They're different, but he's no better. So the competition just continues for Ryan. Our biggest benefit is we're going to L.A. and it's going to be 80 degrees and the humidity is going to drop a little bit and they're all going to feel like Superman because they're not dragging from the humidity. So it's always good to see some new bodies and certainly to get away and change the routine a little bit because it gets monotonous at this point in camp.
Today at camp, Marshawn Lattimore probably had his best day. Had two interceptions, and there was this notion out there that maybe Marshawn Lattimore is a gamer. Do you believe in being a gamer? Do you think that happens? Guys just maybe they'll practice, they'll get in good habits, but they're not going to turn it on until the lights come on.
I do think there are guys that are gamers. I don't think that Marshawn has had a bad camp. I think Marshawn was pretty upfront in saying there's things I'm working on that will make me a better player, that there's I'm trying to use my instincts less and my technique more. And what it shows is a ton of maturity, because that's usually something you learn in like year six, that it's okay to lose in practice if you're working on something. You know, I can get beat on this pass set because I'm working this one particular thing and I'm going to have to get beat a few times to get good at it. And I think Marshawn talked about that really early in camp. He's trying to get away from just being an instinctual player, using his technique and his eyes and his help and all those things. And I have Marshawn Lattimore is a heck of a football player. And I think you saw it in both of those plays today. You know, the one on where he's covering Ted Ginn, where Ted's running a go route down the sideline and flips his hips, catches up to Ted, what looks easily, finds the ball, adjusts. I mean, it's just everything is textbook how you would want to see it. And, he's an excellent player, and I have no issues with the camp he's had so far.
How'd you like that vantage point last week from the booth? It's a little different. You're a little far up there, huh?
It is pretty high in the radio booth for sure. I went down and saw the guys in the TV booth, and I was a little bit jealous. Theirs was much bigger, and it was much lower. The radio booth at the Dome is high, and it was a little bit different, and I got to learn to call out of binoculars and all those things.
That's a challenge.
It is very different to do that. I'd like to use the monitor more next week, I think, the next time we're in there to see if that's any easier. But listen, for me right now, anything is new and different. Like we're going to play in a soccer stadium this week, and the booth is in the corner, and that's the first time I will have ever called a football game from the corner of a stadium. So every week's a learning experience right now, but it was good to be back in the Dome, and it was certainly good to kind of be at home.
I say this as a joke, but bring your wallet next week, because parking out there at the stadium in Carson or wherever, I remember last year I was going through with Robert Carroll, and it was $150 to park.
Really?
I was blown away by it.
Well, I'll have to use my power of persuasion during the week to find a parking pass amongst the L.A. Chargers.
You're not paying $150.
I'm not paying $150. No, I'll take an Uber to the stadium long before I do that.
So what are you looking for as you go out to L.A. next week and you're going to watch them along with Deuce and Steve? What do you hope to see?
Well, in the week of practice, I just want to see guys compete, and especially young players that, it's a really good chance to see it really up close, to see young players have an opportunity to really, compete up close. Sometimes it's hard to see in a game, and it's a little bit different. So I want to see that in the practices, more so in the game. It's the first time we're going to get to see Drew, probably the first time we're going to get to see Cam. And the thing that I think people miss so much, and one of the reasons why it looks slow and sloppy in the preseason, is the tempo changes just in and out of the huddle, the time spent getting the play in, getting up to the line. All of those things that are so important in this offense, I want to see the tempo on both sides of the ball pick up to the level that it needs to for that period of time that the ones are all in. And listen, this is a very good football team. This is a good litmus test for us to see where we're at. And, I want to see – you want to see those first groups perform. And I know as a player you feel pressure in this third game to play well, to move the ball, to get stops on third down. You feel more pressure in this third game.
I want to put you on the spot a little bit, but let's go O-line. I know, you know, everybody might hear it and go, well, he didn't talk about this player or this player. But what have you seen from some of the younger players along the offensive line, and in particular Jermon Bushrod as well? He's a veteran.
He's not a younger player along the offensive line. Jermon's old. but so I think, look, first of all, I think it's a deep group. And I think any of those guys that are older guys that have been around the league know this is a very deep group of offensive linemen, which is great. Maybe not as a player because it's a tough battle. Yep. I mean, there's going to be good players that don't make this football team at several positions, but a bunch at the offensive line spot. So I think Jermon's had an excellent camp. Obviously a versatile guy, can play tackle and guard. Is probably a guy that you could play on either side. Just, you know, has been around long enough, and I think he's had a good camp. He's still moving well, all those things you're looking for. I think Will Clapp's had an excellent camp, and he's been talked about a lot, obviously, because he's a local kid and he mm-hmm. went to LSU. But he's had a great camp. I think he's tough and he's smart and he battles and he finds ways to block people, and I think that's important in this league, especially as a young player developing, just that you're willing to go out and just battle, even when maybe you're not as good as somebody that you're playing against. You know, I think Michael Ola is a guy that nobody said anything about that I know as a lineman, and we kind of stand in the back. It's like, how do we find that guy? Like, I watch other teams play and I see linemen that I know he's better than. So it's always weird to me. I don't know if we scout linemen well or if maybe I'm just seeing it through rose colored glasses, but he's a good football player that I think can make this team better. Obviously, Rick Leonard, you know, maybe got some negative press last week, and that's not bad as a young player to have some people call you out. And I know Coach Roshar is not one to hold his tongue mm-hmm. either. And, you know, Rick's going to have to develop, and they knew that when they drafted Rick. He's played offensive line for 2 years, and, you know, that's a big jump in and of itself. And then to go from college to the pros, it's tough. He has all the physical traits in the world that he needs to be successful. He's going to have to learn the position, and to do that, he's going to have to work his tail off. You know, when you start talking numbers and who's going to stick around and who's going to stay, it's really hard. I mean, it mm-hmm. really is. You know, guys like Andrew Tiller, who has a skill set that has translated to the NFL, has played at a high level, you know, in this league before. And I'm probably, you know, Josh Laribas and Don Barclay both got – Josh Laribas is an excellent football player. Don Barclay has been around for a long time, started a lot of games, played a lot of football. These are all guys that have the capability of playing in this league. And so –
they all won't be on this roster.
They will not all be on this roster. And what becomes hard is, you know, more goes into it. I mean, I don't know if they're going to keep 8 or 9. You know, I don't know that we've ever kept 10 before. There's 10 guys that are worthy
yeah.
of sticking around. I don't think that they're going to keep 10 because we've got a logjam at the receiver position. We've got, you know, we're going to want to carry some extra guys now at defensive line with the injury to Alex and Marcus coming along, you know, a little bit slower. So there's going to be roster spots that are hard, and, you know, we've sat down before and tried to figure out who we think will stay.
It's impossible at this point.
It's very, very difficult. So it's a good group, though, and I think that's what's great. I think the starting five has an opportunity and should be an elite offensive line, but I think the depth behind it's as good as we've had.
The Saints are off tomorrow. Then they travel to L.A. on Tuesday. They'll have joint practices with the Chargers Wednesday and Thursday, and, of course, a walkthrough on Friday and then a game on Saturday. Zach, the voice of the Saints, Zach Strief here. Enjoy L.A., man, and looking forward to your third game. Man.
I'll come back with a tan.
There you go.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'd certainly like to get a win out there. Those flights home are always easier after a win.
All right, that's Zach Strief, the voice of the Saints. This is Sports Talk here on Saints Radio, WWL. Sat down with the voice of the Saints, Zach Strief, earlier. If you missed it, feel free to check out WWL.com. Also coming back after our CBS News update, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, weighing in, I think, on pretty good insight there from Zach on Marshawn Lattimore, but also more of Taysom Hill, Saints backup quarterback. Had a rough night the other night, Friday night against the Arizona Cardinals. 4 turnovers, 2 fumbles, 2 interceptions. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL. Bobby and Christian here on Sports Talk, and Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, celebrating his birthday today. Happy birthday, Bobby.
Yeah, I've never really had a good birthday
what?
In a long time. Well, I mean, because it's football season. I mean, you know, I celebrated still last night. Yeah, but it's not like you have an off season where you can have maybe, I don't know, 24, 48 hours of celebration. But I guess last time we played where I said I really enjoy my birthday, I would say in the early 80s. 83, 84, because we played in the spring and the summer, and so August was like the off season. you know, counting back to the USFL. But, you know, my oldest daughter was born on my birthday. She's
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's 36 today.
Tell that story as to – so you were in college when
yeah,
she was born.
Yeah, I was, I was a senior in college at Northwestern State, and my wife told me – I remember it was a few days before, like, I think I'm having the baby. So I said, okay, so y'all excited. And it was during 2 days, so it was a false alarm. And I was like, come on. You know, and I'm like, you know, your first one, you don't – know, you know, when you're going to have it. So anyway, so the next time around, I guess it was about 11 o'clock at night. And so I was tired. I'm going to bed because I got to wake up. You know, you had 2 days in those days. So, and she could feel like, man, I really think I'm having a baby. So she waited all the way till 1 a.m. I remember she goes, no, the baby is coming. So remember, I jumped out of bed, and, you know, just – let's go. We got to go. Hurry up. You know, not even shower or anything. So we run to the hospital. So you're up all night. So Ryan, my oldest daughter, was born, let's say around 7:30 in the morning. So, you know, they had 2 days. So the coaches came visit. I guess it was around 11:30, right before noon. And, you know, I'm thinking they coming to see me and, you know, and the baby and all that. And so they came and said, oh, congratulations, all that kind of stuff. And they said, well, we need you at practice this afternoon because we run in, like, two-minute offense. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking I can't even take, like, a day off. So, yeah, so I didn't even had the morning practice off. And your adrenaline, you know, you're tired, but you're all excited and everything. So that was great. My daughter being born on my birthday. It was a great birthday present, was the best present ever. But it was like I couldn't even enjoy it for a full day.
Right.
Because then, you know, you in 2 days and then you go to school and then before you know it, you know, I was in the USFL living in Michigan that spring and the next summer. But, yeah, so I really have never been one to truly celebrate my birthday because it's always been, you know, during football in 2 days. And when I played, even you didn't want your teammates to know it was your birthday because they would just
– like what would they do?
Pull pranks on you. Like one time
– icy hot in a jockstrap or something like that?
Yeah, that. You'd always have to check your locker. They were going to mess with you. Same thing with Martin Anderson. You know, Martin Anderson and I have the same birthday. We're also the same age. His mom told me, figuring out with the time change, you know, even when born in Denmark, he's like 6 hours older than I am. So, yeah, we have celebrated at different times, not dealing with our birthday.
Sure.
So we just, you know, because that being a unique situation. But you never wanted your teammates to know that special occasion. You know, sometimes they look in the media guide, oh, yeah, today's your birthday, huh? And then, you know, they would, you know, just mess with your locker and,
right,
and stuff. You're looking for something, it's not there. Or the worst that happened to me probably was Scott Case. Remember Oklahoma?
Yeah.
That
this is in Atlanta.
Yeah. And I was in the bathroom and not number one. So
right.
So all of a sudden
you were sitting down in the stall.
Yeah. And you know the cold ice bucket thing on top of the head and. So how can you relax when that happens?
No.
There's no relaxing then. So that's why I was never one to say, hey, everybody, it's my birthday.
Well, nobody should walk around and say, hey, it's my birthday unless you're a kid.
No, but around a football team, you do not do that.
Right.
Because then they'll give you the business. So it's kind of like it comes and it goes. And
well, yeah, as you get older, you just go, that's another day.
Well, yeah, and I just said, well, you know, yesterday we were off.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, celebrate a day early. So
I
probably celebrate as, you know, when you go out to a nice meal or whatever you do, even a week later or a week earlier or whatever. Like when we were in West Virginia,
You
know, y'all in training camp. So
what'd you do up there to celebrate your birthday?
Nothing. No. I think when I came back home, then celebrated. That's what I'm saying. It might have been a week or a week and a half later. And this, you know, so happy, merry, late birthday then. But you know,
getting back to
but you get all these texts though, Chris.
Yeah, you were showing me a video
of
your daughter. You were talking about that shares a birthday with you.
No, Cammy doesn't share. This is her older sister shares with me. But my second granddaughter, you know, T-Bob has Alice,
right?
But now Cammy has Maggie Miller. So she was singing.
So Ryan, that's right, Ryan.
Ryan's the
her
oldest
birthday.
One. Yeah, she's the one that shares her birthday. So I got a happy birthday with Cammy singing and showing me a little
and Maggie.
Granddaughter. And Maggie, yeah, showed her.
So you have two grand. So they call
two
you
granddaughter.
They call you Papa Bear, huh?
Papa Bear, yeah. Like
I like it.
Yeah, I look like a bear. I'm as big as a bear right now, but yeah. So, what was I gonna tell you?
I don't know what's in that.
Yeah, headers. No, the text like. You know, I don't want nobody to get offended, but, you know, sometimes I get around to answering your texts.
Yeah, it just takes a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, I got like 20-something texts, like, you know, oh, you feel appreciated, you know,
sure.
Happy birthday and all, but I don't want them to feel offended like I'm ignoring them if I don't answer right away, because, you know, I don't never even really. I'm one that could lose his phone a couple of days and, you know, it wouldn't bother me.
No, right.
Right.
Whereas to me, I would be panicking and freaking
right.
out. Well, most millennials at that, too.
Well, like yesterday, all of a sudden, I looked, oh, Christian sent me a text, and I look, and you had these fine cigars.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, like, and then I said, oh, Christian, I bet you enjoyed those cigars. And I said, well, I was out with my wife at dinner and everything. But if I wouldn't answer your text immediately, you're not offended.
No.
Right? Okay.
But first off, I know you.
Yeah, okay.
So, I know you well, and I know that you'll get around to it. And typically when you do respond, it's going to be short, like, okay, with 4 or 5 exclamation points. That's all.
Yeah.
You love exclamation points in your text. It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. It's okay.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Like, I got you. I'm proud of you, Christian.
Not too proud of Taysom Hill the other day, though.
Well, and he started out good. I think, and he had a good week of practice. Today he threw the ball well.
Yeah, he
did. You know, he's had good days where, guy, just need a little bit of, you know, not I want to say luck, because you can make your own luck. You got to have the breaks go your way. But when you want to see that kind of guy succeed, I mean, Christian, I don't know if you're a Taysom Hill fan, but, I mean,
yeah.
If you don't like Taysom Hill, I mean.
As a human being you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
He seems like he's not cocky. He's very humble. So you'd almost want him. To work out, like, you know, and the reason why I'm saying that, he even knows and the respect he shows Drew, and that's when he said one of the goals he said going into the game, we were talking to him, was to improve the tempo. One thing, if you look at all the other quarterbacks, watch what Drew runs the offense to, even in practice.
It's faster.
Upbeat tempo, boom, 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 boom. I mean, in and out the huddle, bringing, you know, going from the defense adjusted, then he makes an adjustment. Well, that's what Taysom said. You know, this is now going into the Cardinals game. And, you know, obviously this is what he's going to strive for to do in practice against the Chargers. And if he gets the opportunity against the Chargers this Saturday. And he said one of the goals going into the game and going forward, Taysom said, was to improve the tempo, which is an aspect of Drew Brees' game that he admires. When the Saints are going right, he said, they are using – a vast set of formations, personnel groups, and it's like, whoa. You got to really know what you're doing. Not 9 out of 11, not 10 out of 11 know what they're doing. Everyone like a machine.
Yeah.
You know, a fine-tuned machine. And he says, it is one of the things we do really well that makes us tough to defend, where you get the defense on their heels, and then they're trying to react and keep pace with you. So right now, I think we're getting a feel for playing with one another. That's, you have a lot of new players. And then he said, and when he looks at the tempo and how things go, at times you might feel like, okay, well, we did it for 2 or 3 plays. Then you might have a lull. And then, you know, can you get that back? Where if you can do it throughout a whole drive, then that would help your confidence. And he said, this offense is heavily predicated on getting in and out of the huddle, getting lined up right. And that's something from day one, even going back to the OTA's minicamp. And so you have the right separation between routes. So when you think about this, when your alignment and CJ or Coach Payton or Drew, whatever, no, we want you here, whether it be like 2 yards out the hash, we don't want you on the hash,
right.
1 yard. Because the route concepts and how you're trying to attack a defense, that all makes a difference how precise
I thought
the
it was
Saints
interesting
are.
Today. I thought it was interesting today, Bobby. I don't know if you heard it, but Ted Ginn Jr. had to get corrected about how – spacing, those details, landmarks, again today, after Sean Payton said it on Friday night, hey, he ran a wrong route twice. Today I saw him tell him verbally, Ted, I want you closer or tighter.
Right. No, no, and you think he should get? He should have. I mean,
by now,
yes,
and it's going into his second season in the system.
And he's not just one that's going to go vertical and stretch the defense. No, they expect him to run all the whole route tree, where when you're running a corner route, an out route, or a drag, or whatever it might be, it does matter the timing, your alignment, and it all starts when you break the huddle. And not like guessing, oh, I think this is where I'm supposed to
right.
be. No, break the huddle and you sprint, you run, and you go line up exactly where you got to be. Then you can be that fast-paced offense that I know Drew wants to do to get the defense on their heels.
The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. More of Sports Talk continues here on WWLAMFM.com. Bobby Hebert feverishly working to text some people on his birthday, I'm sure. Trying to respond with thank you, et cetera. He's getting a lot of birthday wishes. Happy birthday wishes to the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And I saw you feverishly going through there, man. It's you've adjusted nicely. You've assimilated nicely to the technology age of the new iPhone that you got a couple months back.
Well, it still doesn't make me smarter. It just I guess it's easier.
Right.
You know, but you still got to read. If you want to be smart, you got to read.
Sure.
You know, just.
See, you still read. Like, I do a lot of reading. I don't profess to be terribly smart, but my point is that you do a lot of reading on paper. Mine's digital. Like I don't do the whole paper stuff.
Well, the thing is, even like when you're driving, like when along, like you know, like the old books on tapes or whatever,
right. or audiobooks,
podcasts. I mean, mm-hmm. That's like Dan Carlin, Hardcore History.
I know.
You know those type of things, but still to get to feel a book in your hand and to read it.
Did you grow up reading a lot?
Yeah, I was always a reader, but I still probably didn't kind of did the shortcut and did the cliff notes sometimes to do good in the test.
Yes,
you know, type thing. But I appreciate it more the older you get.
Sure.
I guess more from a historical perspective.
It keeps your brain stimulated. I mean,
and I need that. Believe you me.
Hey, Zach Strief. I was talking to him earlier. I thought it was pretty good insight, really good insight on Marshawn Lattimore. You know, we've talked a lot about him in camp saying, hey, he's getting beat a couple of times. Doesn't look like he's the best practice player. Maybe is he going to, you know, have a sophomore, a quote-unquote sophomore slump. And, you know, Zach brought me around with his explanation of, hey, look, he's basically now not playing and practicing with just his instincts. Last year as a rookie, he just had instincts that he was going by. Now he's working on certain techniques that he understands. By mastering those techniques, I'm going to get beat in practice while I'm trying to work and attempt to improve my technique. So that leads to maybe some of the things that what we saw is that, hey, sometimes he gets beat over the top, sometimes he gets beat in coverage because he's trying to hone in on a technique. And, Bobby, that's scary when you consider he had 5 interceptions last year as a rookie playing on instincts alone, not even playing with technique.
Yeah, because if you can get your technique down, because people do film study on you, and the good receivers are going to pick up how they can beat you. Now, the one thing, though, I not necessarily disagree with Zach, but at times it was just he was taking a chance and not really worried about his technique, and double moves would get him. So you have to have instincts on that, when to take a chance. You still want that. Now, you got to be sound on your technique. But a few of those plays he gave up in practice with the double moves was just because I think he guessed wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you can get where your technique's amongst the best, then they're not for sure throwing in your direction because you're going to be hard to beat.
That's what made – and I know this guy's name is forbidden down here, and rightfully so, but that's what made Darren Sharper so effective in the latter stages of his career here in New Orleans because – he understood route concepts, fundamentals, and his technique was spot on. That's why he was able to get the balls that a lot of safeties couldn't, because he just understood his technique and relied on his technique more. And obviously, the experience played a big part in that.
Well, yeah, and you know, angles is different from a safety to a cornerback, obviously, but knowing the down and distance, the situation, studying the quarterback you're playing, and how you could bait him as far as. I really have this in-cut covered, even though I am too deep. You know, I have half of the field that I know I could scream up on that in-cut, on that dig route, because this is what they like to run, and you could see the stem of a receiver, all of those little things.
When you say stem, what?
like the angle as far as whether, you know, you're stemming like to the outside or skinny post, just the angle of the route, and that they see it on film. Well, when he does this, this is what he usually does and breaks it down, or he always does this, where you might want to have that same stem as a receiver, but then do four or five different things off that stem. Then the defensive back can't cheat, and then he has to be disciplined. So that's like Larry Fitzgerald. Like, I'm sure his route tree, that if you're trying to pick up on what he's doing, even though maybe he's getting older and he's not as fast, it's still hard to cover because you can't say, well, when he does this, he's going to do this. No, he might do four or five different things. And that just comes with obviously his skill set and his experience. But I'm not worried about Lattimore, because one thing, Lattimore is a competitor. And he likes to compete and he likes to win. And you might think, well, don't all the players like to win? Well,
some of them are just wired a little bit differently.
Yes, and he has that swagger, which you like in a cornerback. The only thing that can ever set him back is that, and he's like a race car or like a Ferrari Lamborghini type thing, that he needs to get those pistons pumping, mm-hmm. where he's not hurt. Because I think at times that's when it would mess with his confidence a little bit, if he couldn't run like he'd want to run to be able to make plays.
Who would you say is the MVP of camp so far for the Saints?
The MVP, like in the whole team?
Most impressive, yeah. Aside from Drew Brees, not named number 9. Marcus Williams.
Yeah,
right?
It hasn't been Drew Brees. Drew Brees hasn't been. I would say
Marcus Williams?
Yeah, I'd say Marcus Williams. And at times it's been Michael Thomas, but I'd have to say overall Marcus Williams. But, I mean, when he wants to, Cam Jordan could be player of camp. But to say one particular player, Traquan Smith probably made more plays than Michael Thomas, but he's not better than Michael Thomas overall, you know, as far as big plays.
Sure.
I think Alvin Kamara's been consistent. So I don't know if that's a one-player answer as far as I'd say Marcus Williams definitely affected Drew the most as far as, you know, with negative plays on Drew's part. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for me to put, like, one player's like, no, he's just been unbelievable.
The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the birthday boy. I'm Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick alongside 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Patrick and Abita Springs, you guys sit tight. You will lead off next hour. Got a text here at 870-870. Bobby, explain what a route tree is. Is it running the XYZ positions?
No, a route tree is whether you're in the slot or you're on the outside or the tight end. Everyone has a route tree from whatever angle. Mm-hmm. Whether you're running like a quick slant, or you're running a hitch, let's say 6 yards, are you running a curl route, a hook that could be 12 yards, an out route, 12 yard, 15 yard out, a dig, an end cut, 12, 15, 16 yards, depending on the depth. And you could draw it like on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Like a takeoff, a fly route. The reason why it's called a tree,
literally, when you draw it, it looks like a tree.
Yeah, because there's branches.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's exactly right. Chris, you did better than me. And like a post, skinny post. So you see, that'd be two different branches, a corner, and you can run to the pylon, depending the deep angle. Or in other words, it's a corner route that you fake in the post. You go in a corner, but the safety's really over the top, so you got to throw it flat. So it turns out to be a really deep out route or like a short corner.
Yeah.
So there's so many different things depending on what the defense, and you got a picture that, okay, you got the two outside, like the split in, and you got the flanker or whatever you call X, Y, and Z. X is split in, Z is the flanker, Y is the tight end, and then you're going with the fourth wide out would be the W. Different terminology for different teams, but then you have a route tree from all the receivers. Whether you slot or you're on the outside or the tight end, then you also have a route tree for the running backs out of the backfield, like a wheel route.
Like a
wheel route, you're going flattened up, and you could see like like we call like the running back option, like a rabbit route, whether you're cutting in or out, depending on the leverage of its zone, you're hooking up. So there's a lot of different that's what's so amazing when Drew can anticipate that what the defense is doing, and the receiver has to be where a lot of times you might be, where in the hell the quarterback's throwing? Mm-hmm. No, a lot of times, especially a quarterback like Drew, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, if it looks like that, man, where is he throwing the ball? I would say the receiver messed up. Now, a young guy could be he just didn't know where he was throwing it, but that happens all the time.
Patrick, in Abita Springs, you lead off next hour. This is Sports Talk here on Saints Radio, WWL.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.